Well, that is a fun fact on Otto Kemp. How about that?
Isn't that wild?
That is pretty crazy. Baseball lends itself to some wacky facts.
Well, did you hear, have you heard yet? It's like circulating how the Johnny Bench play happened in 71. It's completely different. Manny Mota's on third.
Manny Mota, that's a whole nother.
Manny Mota on third. He goes to steal home.
Okay.
Bench jumps out too quickly.
Sure.
Runner out at home. Catcher interference. Even though the guy never swung, he was out too quickly. So a completely different situation.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
It does, yeah.
So Manny Mota was the guy that they kept signing for to be in decades, right? Wasn't he that
guy? Yeah, that's Manny Mota. Yeah. No, that's, is it Minnie?
No, that's Minnie Mota.
Minnie Mota. Yeah.
So, John, the commissioner's office finally blocked it. So there was this Minnie Mota, and he appeared in all these decades, like really old. They'd pop him in for one game.
I think he was like four
years. Like, I think it was at least five. And there was one point, and I want to say it was like 30 years ago when the commission, it was like, you know, like a 99 or an 89 or like a 91, like a 90. Like it was either the end of a decade or the start of a decade. A team would try to sign this guy and like, let's play him for a game. And I think the commissioner's office is finally like, all right, no more.
You know, like, too cutesy.
You know?
Yeah.
So one thing on my book, I'll, you know, let me just put this disclaimer out there with my book called The Best of Philly Sports. I do feel bad because, you know, I really, like, I agonized over what to put in, what not to put in.
Let me tell you, as someone who throughout the process, we knew it was happening, you agonized.
That was brutal.
Like, you had so many times where you were really struggling with decisions.
Yeah, so here's a category of players that I feel bad about, and I just want to put this out there before anyone even reads this book. Is there some players who are like really great, but they only get like a sentence or two in the book because the team didn't win anything. Like, I'll give you an example. Mark Recchi was a great Flyers player. He didn't win, like, in the first iteration of Recchi, they didn't win anything. They trade him, you know, obviously, you know, in the early 90s and or mid 90s, Desjardins and LeClaire. Like, they, so he was gone, then he comes back, but then they still didn't really win anything, like a tremendous note. LeSean McCoy. The Eagles never won a playoff game with LeSean McCoy. So I
no
get
way.
Yeah, never won a playoff game.
I
get LeSean in at the start of the Eagles chapter when they won the Super Bowl in 2017. I kind of catch you up since the last story. The story before the Eagles 2017 is in 08 when they made the playoffs in all that crazy fashion, you know, when all that stuff had to happen in the last week, and it did. So then, like, at the start of 2017, I'm like, all right, here's what's happened since 08. You know, Andy got fired, you know, but LeSean's really good. Chip gets hired. You know, I say the snowball, but it's all quick. I do say, like, franchise all-time leading rusher, but there are some great players that I feel get shortchanged because there wasn't, like, Dick Allen.
Sure.
There was no team accomplishment, you know? So it's just, it's a shame. But I made sure I jammed as much as I could in, but I'll be interested if anyone figures out who's the best player not in the book.
Oh, that's interesting. Like, who didn't even get a LeSean thing you're talking about? Who's the best player to not have their name? That's fascinating.
No, like,
you mean just their name in the book?
Yeah.
Mentioned.
Like, I didn't have Tomei in until I realized, well, I got to at least say him somehow.
Just to say his name.
Yeah, no, you did.
Right. So then I got him in there at the start of the 07 chapter.
Did you say L.J. Smith in the book?
Yes.
Really?
Wow. Yes. When I listed the 04 Eagles, I said this was a loaded team, and I listed both tight ends. I thought they were both worthy of being listed with the preseason hype of here's the squad.
Except for the drop.
Other than that.
John, you're in the book.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're
that's exciting.
Yeah, you're in the book. So, yeah, but I don't know who the best player that's not mentioned. I mean, I just don't know. But anyway, it's I look forward to people's
should we just start throwing out random names? Kenny Lofton.
Definitely not in the book.
I know,
he was here for 1 year. Give me a more reasonable name. Because Lofton was only here for 1 year.
No, he was. I know. I was joking with Lofton.
Yeah.
So you actually thought
I'm assuming
that.
Like Bobby Abreu. John, Bobby Abreu was in the book. Because that's a weird one, too.
Yeah, they didn't win anything.
Exactly.
So when I put the Tomei thing, and I put Abreu, Tomei, and Roland, they're in like a sentence.
Okay.
Like, basically, since the last thing in 93.
That's really an honor that I got in into a sentence if those guys are, you were deliberating.
Yeah. You,
wow.
Yeah, sure.
Dude, I don't. I think I lucked. I think you gave me some preferential
treatment.
Dude,
you were part of that squad. Oh,
whatever.
Thank you.
You gave me the preferential treatment, whether you admit it or not. Thank you.
But James, that was a good example with the. I mean, those guys somehow. But I don't know. I don't know who the.
I'm racking my brain trying to.
Oh, I have one.
Yeah, who got
Scott Rolen.
He's in that.
I'm sorry,
but that's the right idea.
Yeah, it's the right. So I have Rolen, Abreu, and Tomei.
Percy Hawkins.
Yes.
He's in it?
Because I say in the Barkley chapter, Barkley's one of the few athletes that gets his own chapter.
Which he should.
Yeah. Because he had to, right? He's an all-time player, but there was no real winning.
All-time personalities, both, you know?
Well, that too. Yeah. And so the Barkley thing, I say, you know, the highlight obviously was the 90 team. And so I say Barkley played a thump and bump with Rick Mahorn, Johnny Dawkins, Hersey Hawkins, and Mike Chiminski. Those kind of, guys are just one sentences.
Well, what chapter is the Charles Shackelford chapter? I'm just curious.
Exactly. I'll tell you what that is. He's not by name. That's the start of the AI, the Sixers get the number one pick chapter. That's when I'm like, yeah, they kept losing and losing and losing, and then like, voila, they win the draft lottery, and here comes Allen Iverson. But yes, Charles Shackelford, not mentioned by name. To the phones. Allen in Belmar. Allen, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello, Allen.
What's up, buddy?
I have an ironic story as far as July 21st yesterday with the Phillies, with the catcher's interference.
What's that?
This is going to be tough to believe, but 80 years before that, on July 21st, 1945, my father took myself at the age 7 and my late brother at almost 6 to our first Major League Baseball game. It was a Saturday afternoon game. It started at 3 o'clock at Shibe Park between the A's and Detroit. And it wound up almost 5 hours later being called for darkness. So it still is to this day the longest tie game, 24 innings, one-to-one tie.
That's incredible, Allen. That's really
that's wild.
And you were
80 years to the day yesterday's first baseball game.
That is amazing.
Wild,
wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. So I'll remember the 21st. I remember it anyhow, but I'll also remember it now because of the catcher's interference the same day. So.
That's a great. Yeah, well, you've seen a lot of baseball, Allen.
Oh, yeah. And it was a funny rule they had then because most people say, well, why didn't they turn the lights on? There was a league rule at that time that if you did not start a game with the lights on, they could not be turned on later.
Well, interesting. And, of course, lights had just started before that because weren't lights in the late 30s in baseball?
I believe so, but that was a league rule at that time.
Interesting. Wow. Good fact.
Just something that's
absolutely.
All right,
so, Allen, give me something weird and unique from sports. You can win the tickets to the Eagles training camp.
Well, like I said, I thought that was very
weird. I'll go with that one.
Yeah, 24-inning tie game is weird and unique.
Allen, I love it. Good call, man. Very good call. Let's talk to Jordan in Princeton. Jordan, good morning.
Good morning, morning show. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hope we're all doing well today.
Doing great, Jordan.
Yeah, we're good, man. Other than my injury situation, because I don't even know quite what to call it, but otherwise doing well.
Don't they call it core muscle?
But I don't know if the hip counts as that if it is the hip.
Sure. If it's the psoas, isn't
that psoas would be
core muscle?
Yeah, but the hip is something different. I don't know. That's why I'm saying it's psoas, hip. It's somewhere in there. Anyway. Go ahead, Jordan.
How nice is it, though, to pick up a tennis racket after you haven't played in 40-some years and still have a feel for the game? I did the same a couple of summers ago. I played all through high school, didn't play for 15 years. You still have the muscle memory. So, you know, after hearing your coach yesterday, Joe, I think the city of Philadelphia has some momentum. It's not changing John's mind. I hear John's in the background. John's mind has not changed. He's still voting for Jack, but I'm very interested to see this tennis match, and I wish you good luck.
Thanks, man. I'm excited, and I mean, obviously, I have to win it, and if I win it, then we're probably headed to a game 5.
Excellent. Before I get to the Phillies, John Ritchie, most interesting man in Philadelphia sports radio, obviously, that French toast you made the other day, a little dry, John. You got to soak that French toast
dry.
A little more than that.
You got to
It's just you could tell you got to soak it in more of that egg wash. Add a little heavy cream, a little cinnamon, a little egg. Get that really wet, and it gets a nice crust on it.
You know
and
what?
If you want to really challenge yourself,
I do need I need it to penetrate, and so it's tenderer inside. And I think I needed thicker bread too, so that there was more like penetrated inside part. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what I was. The bread you can't use wheat bread for something like this. French toast is not a time to be healthy.
Yeah.
Get yourself some brioche. Get yourself a nice country white loaf. Works well.
Oh man,
and it's
some
actually
challah.
Very, very easy. It's very challah. I mean, all of these are actually very easy to make. The last year, I've gotten much more into baking. I'm making breads and hamburger buns and pastas. And this journey, I'm low because I love people cooking. If you cook for
me
yourself,
too, I'm getting really into it also, Jordan. So I appreciate this advice.
Jordan, I could use the help with the cooking. So it's not you teaching me to cook. It's just you cooking for me.
You got
no, that's lazy. No, that's lazy.
All right, Jordan, what do you got on
Thank
the Phillies?
You.
I love baseball. It's by far my favorite sport. I really want to see the Phillies win a World Series. You know, it's been 17 years. It's a long time. It's not forever, but it's a long time. The thing that really hooked me on Phillies as a kid was Mickey Morandini's unassisted triple play. I remember watching that as a kid and having my mind so blown by the happenstance of something like that. Just the circumstances around it.
You know, I'm almost surprised it doesn't happen more. It's the middle infielder catching the ball and then doing the quick tag and the quick step on second. I'm a little surprised it doesn't happen more.
Well, the quick tag is harder because the guy on second, you can't tag. You have to step on second. You have to quick tag the guy coming from first, which is tougher. Usually you end up throwing to first to get, you know what I mean? Most times the guy has to keep running. It's a rare situation that it plays out that way.
Well, what about if it's hit to the shortstop near the second base bag? So the guy on second has to come back to you. You get that guy quick, and then you just throw to first.
Oh, but no, that's not an assist. You have to chase the guy down. That's my point. So the guy from first has to keep running enough that you can get to him in time after you tag second base to get the guy. So it is tougher.
Yeah, way tougher. Yeah.
And that's why, you know, they say baseball, too, is a game of inches, and an unassisted triple is truly inches. You know, you could miss that tag by an inch, and you don't make the play. So, you know, my mind was blown as a 10-year-old. Just as it was last night when Sosa points to the mitt right away and he knew, and we're all just waiting for the call, knowing that we're going to see something happen in baseball that essentially doesn't happen. I know the 71, but there was no ghost runner. It was a different circumstance. This is the first time this has ever happened in baseball. This is a game that's well over a century old. And that's why I just keep coming back, as disappointing as this team has been, and the fact that we're now 500 in the last 42 games or so, really echoes to last season and the fall off after the London trip. But I still keep coming back for baseball because of things like how we won last night and because of Morandini's unassisted
triple.
Okay,
well, that's pretty cool.
He was also kind enough.
What am I writing down here, Jordan? Jordan, for a unique thing from sports, what am I writing down for you?
Father's Day 22, Sixers game 7. My kids were sick. I decided to take myself to the game. They're losing in the final seconds. Wells Fargo Center is silent. From the upper deck, somebody chucks a 24-ounce can of Bud Light that's full right onto the center of the court. It hits with a thud. It sounded like a nuclear weapon going off.
Okay.
A very weird moment. They announce, don't throw anything onto the court as the season is fading away in the final seconds.
No.
But, man, what a weird moment that
All
was.
All right, you got it.
Thunk.
Craziest thing you've ever seen at a game. What is it, John?
Jeez.
I mean, you more played
I've seen
in games.
Some nasty, nasty injuries.
I'm sure.
Like some of the stuff, like compound fractures.
Well, I didn't mean on the field. I meant Well, sure.
So like the firing off the cannons when Marco Bellinelli hit that shot that wasn't
But you
a three,
weren't at that game.
I was at that game.
Oh, you were at that game.
Yeah, I was at that game, and I turned to my buddy as it went off, and I was like, I'm not sure that was a three.
Yep.
Like I turned to my buddy immediately. It's like, I don't know that he wasn't on the line for that. So that's up there.
I mean, someone listening, many people listening, were at the game when the flare gone went. You were at that game, right?
Yes.
I mean, that was really bad.
Just to
and
say,
it landed on an empty chair.
It didn't seem that unusual to me. But I was, you know, those were things that were normal.
Rhea, I am convinced when the Eagles moved to the link that they call the upper section the upper bowl. Because no one will say it with a source of pride the way we would say the 700 level and lead to borderline criminal activity.
Oh, yeah, I went there one
time. Because the 700 level, it had a...
Yeah. There was,
like, no one, where do you say, I sit in the upper bowl? No one's going to say that with a sense of
Joe,
pride.
I paid for my very first ticket by myself. You know, the first Eagles game I ever went to, brought me and a friend. I was in college, and it was the game we were playing the 49ers.
Yep.
And Joe Montana threw 4 touchdowns, I believe, in the fourth quarter.
I remember it well. That was, I'll tell you exactly when that was. That was in 1989. And that was, I believe, week 3.
It was.
Or 4. And Izell Jenkins had taunted
yes.
Jerry Rice earlier in the game.
Oh, that's an awesome idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Toast. Seriously? Way to go, buddy.
Why his nickname was Toast, Rice? John?
And Montana had four touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. Yeah, that was, I think, week three of 89.
Challenge Jerry Rice. You're not good.
It went from up here to, I'm not sure we're getting out of here alive.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it.
So young and I'm scared.
Unbelievable. Let's go to John right now in Philadelphia. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing today?
Doing great, John.
That's awesome. Joe, sorry about your injury, but as a trooper and as the professional you are, I commend you for continuing with the competition.
Thank you, man. I have an obligation. Here's the thing, John. Joe DiMaggio, I believe, first said it, but Joe DiCamera.
There could be some kid coming.
Follows the same. There could be a kid out there that never saw me play. And so
and
I
never wants to.
So I have a responsibility, John, to
show up every day.
You're also claiming injury.
No, it's injury. I could show you the MRI. The problem is I'd be showing you more than is appropriate, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, I could put the MRI on Twitter, but then I would make the other men in the Delaware Valley jealous.
Oh, good. Yes.
So I can't post.
Let's make some noise. Come on.
Because, I mean, we're going, like, off the page now. You know. Anyway, John,
well,
go ahead.
Thanks for saying that.
It's funny. I did think about putting that up on Twitter, but I'm like, oh, you know, let's leave Nick Foles in first place for now. All right, go ahead, John.
There you go. Oh, here we go. I have a concern down the stretch, and it's a similar concern of yours. Like, I'm excited for the Phillies and the Robertson sign. I think it's definitely going to help. I'm also excited at the fact that Middleton said that maybe Abel and Painter will be available to help in the bullpen.
Yeah. You know, significant that he said it. Very significant that he said that.
Absolutely. It makes a huge difference when the owner says it. So with that being said, like, you know, my concern is the same as yours, Joe. Bryson Stott at second base and, you know, obviously a center fielder. So at this point, Joe, just in your opinion, if we don't make any moves to shore up our center field or change it, you know, who do you go with down the stretch at second base and the center fielder?
Well, good questions. I think it's going to be determined based on who's hotter between Stott and Sosa. I think it has gotten to the point where it feels platoonish. Now, obviously, with Stott being a left-handed hitter, he's just going to probably play more often because you face more right-handed pitchers. But I've been reluctant to have Sosa there frequently, but I'm changing course on that because Stott, to me, is proving that it has to be that way for now. As far as the outfield goes, I think it's just going to be what it's been. It's just going to be three guys for two spots with Kepler playing the most and Marsh playing the second most and Rojas playing the third most. And I think it's just what it is. But I don't think that'll happen. I don't, John. I do think they will get someone out there that joins the fray. And I'll be surprised if it's still just those three guys for two spots.
No, I understand. And just one quick Eagles point.
And by the way, Kemp could get out. I should point out, because we're back to Kemp in the infield with the third base thing with Boehm. But Kemp could get out there. Schwarber could. The thing about Schwarber getting out there is then someone else would be the DH, and they don't really have a classic. Like, if you had Greg Dobbs or Matt Stairs or Ricky Jordan, like, you could say, okay, I can go to this bench guy to be, like, you'd have a good DH. You don't have a good DH.
I don't think you can mess with what Kyle Schwarber's doing right now. I mean, this season he's putting together, I feel like
sending
him to the outfield, you know the return you'll get move.
But, John, I'm going to give you a scenario.
He's not a good defender.
Here's a scenario.
It takes away from his ability to be an MVP candidate.
Here we go.
It's
game four of the NLDS. You're in a 2-1 hole, and Kepler is 1-for-14 in the series.
Mm-hmm.
I you know what I mean? Like,
I have more confidence in Kepler than that.
Why?
But I know that.
Because someone's going to be 1-for-14.
Kepler stinks. I have zero confidence. I think Kepler stinks.
I think they all kind of stink.
Yeah, they all do. But yeah. Kepler, I have zero confidence in Kepler. He doesn't even look like he's trying. Honestly, I think he wants to be out of here, Kepler. I like that. The whole thing happened. He has looked like lackadaisical since the stuff happened. Like, I couldn't be more out of
Kepler. All right, John, I need an answer from you. Give me something unique from sports.
I'm going to say the double doink against Chicago.
Yeah, it was. It's not totally unusual. I mean, no, it's unusual. It's happened, but
in that spot on a last second playoff kick and all that. It's rare.
I think it's gone side to side posts before, right? But that's got to be harder. I mean, because it's further away. Like, that was side post, bottom post.
Joe, I was so upset. I turned away and I literally was turning in the other direction. And my brother goes, he missed it. I go, that's not even funny. And he goes, no, I'm serious. He missed it. I mean, I was so upset. I literally turned my head.
Yeah. Well, you know what's another thing? Happening. You remember when the Bears mascot fell over?
Oh, it was hilarious. Yeah. Not for Bears fans.
I heard that mascot guy got in trouble.
Yeah, he
really?
Did.
Really?
No, he did. It was a story. There was a story about it.
The Bears were not, because it was such
a jokey.
It was too, like, for
he was
them,
like joking around. Ha ha ha. It's like not cool.
I don't know about joking. It was just like, he was so devastated that was the way he chose to fall, but they didn't want their mascot falling over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say jokey. Like, he took it real. I mean, maybe it's jokey, but like...
Well, they didn't fire him, right?
I don't know. I heard
it was effective. Like, as far as mascots go, like, he falls flat on his face.
You're right, John.
Really,
that's his job.
Visual.
It was funny. I don't know if they wanted funny in that moment. That's my
point.
Wasn't
funny for them.
Yeah.
All right, James, what do you got in there?
I have a comment on Twitter from one Spike Eskin. Spike has tweeted, I've received word about Joe DeCameras, and this next word is in quotes.
Oh, I told you guys he wasn't
going to
believe
me. I have received word about a Joe DeCamera quote-unquote injury he revealed on today's show. We will have comment on our show this afternoon.
Well, that's going to be ugly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me. All right. Well,
you called it. You said this is exactly what's going
to
happen.
We'll be all ears to find out what they have to say, and round and round the world goes. Love it. And I also love that the Eagles are back in training camp as the team gets together today. How great is that? The birds in camp. And by the way, as they do so, they have a former executive back in the fold. Now, they've had him for some time, but the team announced, I think it was a day or two ago, the official title for the returned Joe Douglas, who, of course, was up there in New York with the Giants. Actually did a really
Jets.
Good Jets. I'm sorry. Yeah. He did a really good job drafting for the Jets. He did a really bad job with some of the other moves. Like the Aaron Rodgers thing. Just
and
blew
he,
mi-
he the one draft pick, he missed that. On the biggest draft pick. Yeah. He missed on Zach Wilson.
Oh, that was a killer.
Yeah.
And his coaches, it was not good.
It was just a bad situation. I mean,
it was
the Jets, but.
But look, we like Joe Douglas.
The Aaron Rodgers thing really did
him. Oh, yeah, it killed him. It
Four
killed him.
Plays.
You saw that they paid. Yeah. Sauce Gardner.
Though. Well, he's one of the better
Sauce
corners.
Is
yeah.
now the top paid, or at least he was. Top paid cornerback in the league. That was a great pick.
It was a tremendous pick. The running back they got was a great pick.
Yeah.
Forget that.
Bryce Hall.
Yeah. Bryce Hall, really great player.
But anyway, Joe Douglas back with the Eagles. And we know when Joe Douglas is with the Eagles, all they do is win Super Bowls. So hopefully that happens again. His title, Eagles announced, is Senior Personnel Director Advisor to the General Manager. Which, by the way, that's a kind of title I want someday. Advisor to the whomever.
Yeah.
That's
strong.
Yeah, it's when you got some heft. You don't have to be the guy. You be the advisor to the guy, whatever
the
that means. The hand.
Hand of the king.
The
I
hand
love
of the
that.
King.
That's
hand
a great,
would be
great comp right
the
there.
Hand of the king. Yeah. Except sometimes hand of the king gets his head chopped off.
Yeah.
I don't know if
we're
the stakes
shot on
are quite
a
the same
toilet,
here.
You know?
I don't know that it would come to that.
No, shoot someone on a toilet.
Well, no, because
oh, no,
he became
right.
hand after.
You're right.
His father was hand at the time.
My fault. You're right. He was... maybe the baddest ass bad guy in that whole
Tywin
show.
Tywin was such a badass.
Tywin Lannister was.
That's an aspiration, though. Hand to Howie Roseman.
Exactly.
Can we just, Joe Douglas, is that his title on this show?
Right. You remember Paul Owens, when he was late in life, Paul Owens was like the hand to Ed Wade.
Yeah.
You know, like they brought the Pope back, and he's, you know, that's what I want to be someday. I want to be the hand to someone.
I want consultant next to my name. But no one has any idea what I'm consulting for.
Exactly
just
right.
Consultant.
Love it. All right, let's go to the phones. I see the name Ruben Amaro Jr. on the line. Good morning, Rube.
Good morning. I'm getting ready to tee off on five, guys.
But, nice.
Listen,
nice.
All I wanted to do, I'm with Mr. Paul Holmgren and some friends here. I just wanted to wish you good luck and congratulations on your book, Joe.
Thank you, Rube.
Awesome
I appreciate
stuff, man. That's really, really cool. Happy for you. And I understand that you did get the Flyers in there, back-to-backers.
I got tons of Flyers. Let me just look at this here. I got 10 Flyers stories in the book. Now, unfortunately, only two have been this century. But listen, they're an enormous part of our sports culture, and we're looking to have, for the next edition, Ruben, I'm hoping to have five new chapters for the Flyers in the next, you know, 15 years. Hopefully, we'll see.
That would be great. Hey, I also wanted to tell you, just take it easy on your body, dude. Remember, you're not an athlete.
I got to win, Ruben.
And,
I got to win.
And I don't want you to kill yourself, okay?
Well, I don't want that either, but I got to win.
Okay.
I mean, well, you're playing
that.
Golf with Homer.
That,
you're not
take care of your body. Take care of your body. I don't want you to see you laid up. But I got to go hit my shot.
Go hit your shot. Thanks, Ruben.
Love you, brother.
You too,
and
man.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
Calling from the tee. That's a new one.
That
with
nice.
Holmgren.
Yeah, former Philly GM golf outing. No big deal.
I'm looking to make sure here I got Homer in the book. I do.
Yeah. There you
so
go.
So he might be in more than one chapter. He's in the chapter when this is, and John, you might not know this one, and this is, for the younger audience, going to be one of the less-known stories, but this is a fact. Story. Title. Flyers go 35 straight games unbeaten. Can you imagine that? They played 35 straight games and didn't lose.
I cannot imagine
now,
that.
Now, hockey had ties back then, so they had 25 wins, 0 losses, and 10 ties.
Okay.
A record in sports, yeah, right?
It is still a record. And it says here, according to the book, they accomplished something truly phenomenal. The talented roster include longtime stars Bobby Clark, Bill Barber, Rick McLeish, and Reggie Leach, plus younger players like Paul Holmgren.
There he is.
All right.
In there.
Mm. Got to get them all in there.
I know why you put him in there.
What's that?
You were afraid not to put him
in
there.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's funny. For some of these things, Rhea, when I was too young to know truly who were the absolute best, like the second-tier players, because you always know the Clarks and the Bernies. So some of this stuff, I had to look at the stats and figure out, like, all right, who's getting a lot of ice time? Who's scoring the points and the good defenseman and the such? So trying to figure that out. And sometimes I would ask people, like, who should be in here for this group? I know we said it 2 hours ago. I got to say it again. I still can't believe Malcolm Jamal Warner died.
I know. Theo, man.
That one hurt. I saw a tweet yesterday. I want to read this because this really this struck me when I saw this tweet. I thought it really hit it. And here's someone, a Twitter guy called the Hillman Files, because of course that was the name of the college in the Cosby Show, Hillman. And I thought this was a great tweet. This really summed it up, in my opinion. This guy tweets, "We first met Theo Huxtable, then portrayed by a 14-year-old Malcolm Jamal Warner during the 1984 pilot episode of the Cosby Show, when Theo declared he didn't want to go to college. 8 years later, in the 1992 series finale, and the last time we saw Theo, he was achieving that very milestone as he graduated college. It was a powerful full-circle moment. Over the years, we didn't just watch Theo grow up. We also witnessed Malcolm Jamal Warner's maturation. We grew up with him. We watched him transform from a bright, talented teenager into a remarkable young man before our eyes. That is the admiration and love we have for him that has stayed with us for decades, and that is why this loss hurts so very deeply. He was and will always be our on-screen and off-screen brother, and he will be honored forever." I thought that was nice. Really nice way to frame that by that guy.
Yeah, really nice, really nice. And just such a tragic story. Caught, pulled by a current.
Drowning.
Yeah, to where he asphyxiated.
Horrible, horrible.
54 years old.
Let's get to our Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Get 0% financing for up to 36 months and $1,000 bonus cash on select new Silverados. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, poll question. As we get to our poll result today, we got four teams. You got the Union as well. But the four main teams, obviously, Phil's, Eagles, Flyers, Sixers. We ask of those four teams, if only one of them would win a championship in the next 365 days, which one would you prefer it be? John, how do you think the results came in on Twitter?
I think it's going to be close because baseball is so right in the here and now. It's going to be split Eagles and Phillies.
It's very
more than
split.
Anything.
You're right.
So,
you're right.
I'm going to say the Phillies edge them out.
You're right.
Nice job, dude.
Like 54%.
So 43% for the Phillies, 42% for the Eagles, 11% for the Flyers, and 4% for the Sixers.
I wasn't even thinking.
No, but you were
the other two.
Yeah,
I know that they are out of sight, out of mind right now because they're not playing, but. To the thing we talked about is why you and I thought about picking the Flyers and the Sixers. Yeah. The fact that most people who are filling out the Super Bowl have not seen them win a championship.
Right.
it's crazy they're that low.
Yeah.
Like, that is really low, man. Like, there should be more people who say, I want to see the Sixers win a title, like, in my lifetime.
Yeah, I think some of it is the anti- how they've been entertaining or not entertaining us.
No doubt.
Element.
No doubt.
It's sort of like some disgust
you
of
don't
them.
Deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't deserve it.
Yeah, I don't know how I'd feel about the owner winning.
Well, that would feel uncomfortable.
100%.
Yeah, that would be, you know, that would be one of those things we just kind of grin and bear that he holds the title trophy. But, I mean, we'd be happy for whoever the players are. And obviously, it can only happen if Joel reestablishes. I mean, it can. And by the way, like, Edgecombe would have to probably be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would be pretty cool. You know?
Paul George would have to be healthy. I mean, like, the lot would have to go right. Yeah.
So, anyway. Jerry Jones, let's listen to Jer. He said something very bizarre yesterday. He's asked a question about Micah Parsons.
Evergreen statement these days.
Yeah. So he's asked a question about Parsons.
Inaccurate and bizarre statement,
right.
Also.
So he's talking about Parsons, and he doesn't have a new contract and that whole thing. And then he just kind of, like, veers over to, like, Dak Prescott. Bizarre. Here's Jer.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt 6 games last year. Seriously. We've signed, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out 2/3 of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about when you, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
It is amazing to bring it back to the Josh Harris thing. Ownership matters, man.
This just
it really
makes me
matters.
Want to say, like, and? Jerry, what are you doing, man? Yeah, we know. There's a lot of things you have to consider when you're talking about signing guys. What he just said was inaccurate. You know, he's talking, for whatever reason. Yeah, we know that it's tough. It's tough being an owner. You got to consider lots of stuff. You're saying, Micah, no matter what you pay him, maybe he's not available, but maybe get your facts right.
Yeah.
You said last year he missed 6 games, he missed 4. You are the owner, and you fancy yourself the guy who's the decision maker.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, a couple years back, it seemed like they succeeded in taking that stuff away. It seemed like they
re-emerged.
Were peeling back, and they were passing the torch, and that the Dallas Cowboys were in a better place. Now, last season demonstrated what it looks like when Jerry Jones has a bigger hand in things. Now, I don't know. People are excited about the Schottenheimer, you know, the new head coach hire from within in Dallas. You know, maybe things can be better. Come on. He's complicit with the owner more than anything. So this is a continuation in my mind.
Yeah, it's
great
change.
For us.
It's great for the Eagles. And I said this a couple years ago when he made the haul. I'll say it again. I don't think Jerry Jones should have made the Hall of Fame. Now, he's got something not many owners have. He's got 3 Super Bowl rings. I mean, right out of the gate, boom, 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 92, 93, 95.
And that is something.
And that is something. And he did help change the economics of the league in a way that made
That's why he's in there.
I think
I think that's the biggest reason.
But I just don't think, like, because he's had so much negative.
He's had tons
of... He hasn't won anything for 25 years. And when he made the Hall, it had been about 20 years.
Yeah, but the 3 Super Bowls.
I know, but God.
It's kind of a standard right there.
It is, but he also, to me, sullied it a bit by firing the guy that really won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, of course.
Like, Jimmy Johnson won the Super Bowls.
But the NFL is a multi-billion dollar corporation now, in part because of a lot of the stuff that he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, Lurie will probably make it. Pat Bowlen made it as a 2-time Super Bowl winner. Like, Lurie will probably make it and I think deserves to make it. But, I mean, just at a very basic level, who's a better owner, Jeffrey Lurie or Jerry Jones? I'm close. And if anything, Jerry Jones' time as a GM should count against him.
Yeah.
That's on his football resume. He's a bad general manager. Period.
In large part because, man, Jeffrey Lurie is so self-aware.
Of course.
Jeffrey
Lurie he didn't make himself the GM.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, like...
He delegates, and he does such a wonderful job. And as a player, we all knew that the organization was going to give us whatever we needed to succeed.
Yeah.
He was going to pony up. That's just what he did.
It's all crazy, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
Time's yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi, as always, is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go only from Xfinity Mobile. Let's hit it with Tom Jones.
Phillies win in the first MLB game in 54 years to end in a walk-off catch interference the night before Eagles training camp. What a time to be alive.
Ah, I like it.
Joe, the Eagles are the Super Bowl champions. All season long, we're the defending champions. Nothing else. Quit it with the games. Let's go, Birds!
I'm with you on defending. I don't think I'm with you on the first statement.
There's a reason they had a golden retriever run for Joe DeCamera at Philly's fantasy camp. Well, you wanted to be an athlete.
Yeah. Look, it's part of the deal. I mean, it's part of why I got to keep playing. I can't pop my mouth off and say I'm a better athlete than Fritz and then back out because of an injury. I have to play through the injury, and I intend to.
This message is for John, Jack, and Spike. Whatever you do, do not let Joe DeCamera compete in anything until he has been surgered, rehabbed, and recovered. Why? Because he has built in an excuse now. By him saying that he's injured, ambiguous injury, undetermined injury, but now he's still going to compete? Oh, hell yeah. He done built in a whole entire excuse for if he loses.
Your people know you well.
Very interesting points there.
Wasn't my intent.
I followed his logic.
I can see how people arrive at that conclusion. That is not my conclusion. And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The time's yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
I've been telling you for months. I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut.
This is all part of being an athlete.
It is. You're right, John.
Managing your body through a series. I mean, through the preparation process, you got to manage the ups and the downs.
Right.
Sometimes you tweak a little something here and there, and you still got to roll.
You got to man up.
A lot of times, Jalen Hurts, we don't even know he's injured. And then he has to have a surgery to end the season.
Yeah.
So,
just like Joe's going to have a surgery to end his
season
here.
Possibly. How do you manage? How do you continue to play? I was always taught the difference between a good player and a great player is a great player can function and play at the highest level even while he's banged up.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the highest, but as high as will be necessary to win. That's the goal. All right. We got to come up with
that's sort of a statement about Jack.
Well, yeah, you had to beat Junior Seau. I have to beat Jack Fritz. I mean, there is a difference. All right, we got to come up with a winning answer for something that's weird
today, and
unique from sports. So a couple of good ones here. Batting out of order is a really good one. Richie's bleeding forehead is a great answer. The earthquake in San Francisco, I think, is a great answer. The double doink was certainly something. Randall's 91-yard punt. The unassisted triple play in baseball. So I'm between batting out of order, the earthquake, and Richie's forehead.
I was at the earthquake.
I'm going
earthquake. That was of all those that hit me the hardest.
Rhea, you good with that?
100%.
Yeah. Earthquake, I think, is the right answer. Hey, Tom, congratulations, man. You have won tickets to see the Eagles open practice coming up in a few weeks. All right, everyone, have a spectacular rest of the day. I will attack the physical therapy for the groin. And all that I need to do to be ready, because you guys know the saying of the Boy Scouts, be prepared. I intend to be. At least I hope to be. Have a great rest of the day. Joe and Hugh, on training camp
opening day.
It just means
we will be prepared for training camp. Champ camp.
Tomorrow.
Live from Champ Camp.
Tomorrow. Of course, they did win the title last year. We'll talk to you tomorrow.